Welcome, everyone. Hello. Hi, I'm Pat.
And hi, I'm Jesse.
And today, we are taking a truly fascinating deep dive. We're looking into something incredibly influential, but, well, often completely invisible, our subconscious patterns.
Yeah, and what's really compelling here, I think, is that so much of what we actually do and how we feel, even how we react to things, it isn't consciously driven. Not really. We're talking about those deep, often unexamined scripts. The ones that are sort of subtly running our lives in the background.
Exactly. And to help us unpack all this, we've compiled a stack of really fascinating insights. We're drawing from personal journeys, things like 40 days of facing fears, and some psychological explorations into the law of attraction. Also, practical guides on breaking patterns and subconscious anxiety.
And if we connect all of this, you know, to the bigger picture, you'll start to see that understanding these hidden patterns.
Well, it's absolutely the first, most crucial step. It's about reclaiming genuine control over your life, really, and aligning it with maybe your highest self. Mm-hmm. Our goal today is really to uncover how these invisible forces shape pretty much everything, from your emotions and habits, yeah, even to your finances and relationships.
And maybe most importantly, we want to arm you with some practical strategies, ways you can actually change them.
Yeah, get ready for some major aha moments today, hopefully.
I feel like.
So let's start right at the beginning then. When we talk about subconscious patterns, what exactly are our sources defining them as? Like, what's going on beneath the surface?
That's a really crucial starting point. So our sources define them as automatic behaviors, actions, ways of thinking, stuff that operates completely without our conscious awareness.
Automatic, okay.
Yeah. And what's truly astonishing, I mean, according to the research we looked at, is that somewhere around 90 to 95%.
95%, wow.
Yeah, 90 to 95% of our thoughts, our decisions, our habitual behaviors, they're controlled by this subconscious powerhouse. Think of it like a deeply ingrained autopilot.
Yeah.
It's running almost the entire show, you know, behind the scenes.
Wow, 90 to 95%. That's genuinely staggering. It really makes you think, doesn't it? How much of our lives are just on cruise control without us even realizing it?
Exactly.
So if they're running in the background like that, how do these patterns even get there? You know, in the first place, right. When does this programming really start?
Well, that leads to a really important question. And the sources really emphasize that this deep programming, it's largely formed very early in life. Often by around age 7 or 8.
7 or 8, that young.
Yeah. Now, during these really formative years, a child's brain is naturally in what's sometimes called a hypnagogic trance. It's characterized by theta brain waves. Think of it like a highly permeable, almost dreamlike state. Information just goes directly into the subconscious mind. There's no critical analysis happening.
So it's not like an adult brain then, where you're analyzing and questioning what you hear or see. It just accepts.
Exactly. It just accepts, like a sponge, really, soaking up absolutely everything without a filter.
Okay, I see.
So imagine a child repeatedly being told something like, if you don't get good grades, you'll never have a good job. Or maybe they witness constant arguments about money, or even taking sarcastic comments. You know, like, are you stupid? Taking them literally. Because that critical filter just isn't developed yet.
Right.
And these aren't just passing thoughts for a kid. They get deeply ingrained as fundamental truths in that developing subconscious.
And where do these beliefs come from? Is it just parents?
Well, they can come from anywhere, really. Their immediate environment, obviously, upbringing, friends, family, later on maybe work, lifestyle, even broader societal or religious ideas they're exposed to.
Yeah.
It all feeds in.
So, okay, that's how they get wired in. But what does this all mean for us as adults? How do these invisible, often deeply rooted forces actually, you know, show up day to day? Because it sounds like the impact could be pretty profound.
Oh, they absolutely are. Our sources show that these subconscious patterns can lead to all sorts of common struggles we face as adults.
Mm-hmm.
Things like unhelpful emotional reactions, you know, flying off the handle, or persistent negative thoughts that just loop.
Self-sabotage too, maybe?
Definitely self-sabotage, chronic procrastination, and even genuinely destructive behavior sometimes. It's often the root cause when you feel stuck, you know, even if you consciously want to change something.
Can you give us some specific examples from the sources? Because I think that's where it really clicks for people, seeing it in action.
Of course. Yeah, one source beautifully illustrates codependency, for instance. Say a child grew up in a really high conflict home, and they took on the role of the peacemaker. Always trying to fix things, mediate arguments.
Right, trying to keep everyone happy.
Exactly. That creates a deeply ingrained pattern. So in adulthood, this can manifest as codependency, where that individual literally relies on other people's unhappiness to feel needed and worthy. It's unconscious, of course.
That sounds exhausting.
It is. They might unconsciously seek out unstable relationships or constantly sacrifice their own well-being, their boundaries, for others' approval, because their subconscious blueprint is basically screaming, your value comes from fixing others' problems.
Wow. That's a really powerful example. So it's not just about what we learn passively, but the roles we play and how they get solidified. What about common emotions like, say, anger or stress? Do these patterns influence those too?
Absolutely. And what's truly insightful here is how many emotions we might just label as anger or stress. Well, when you look closer, they're actually deeply fear-based.
Fear-based. How so?
Well, take road rage, for example. On the surface, it looks like frustration, right? But if you dig a little deeper, it can stem from a subconscious fear of being late, maybe, and losing something important, respect, a job opportunity, or even just feeling a loss of control.
Okay, I can see that.
Or chronic stress. That often comes from the fear of bad outcomes at work, the fear of failure, losing your job, not getting that promotion, even just the fear of looking weak or being judged. That can powerfully hold us back from being authentic in our lives. It makes us avoid situations where we might feel vulnerable.
It's incredible how our bodies can even get involved in these subconscious patterns. I remember reading one personal account describing how chronic physical symptoms, like recurring acne or persistent anxiety, were actually the body's subconscious way of protecting itself. Protection against the fear of being seen or judged, stemming right from a low self-image formed way back in childhood.
That's exactly right. The body can become a sort of physical manifestation of these internal fears. Subconscious anxiety in particular can feel like this continuous nervousness or restlessness, but without any clear identifiable cause, you know?
Yeah, like you feel anxious but don't know why.
Precisely. Your conscious mind is looking around for a reason, but the anxiety is simply your unconscious mind running an old protective program, trying to keep you safe from some perceived threat, even if that threat isn't actually real in the present moment. It's like a continuous low-grade alarm bell just ringing and ringing.
And then there are our money beliefs. Gosh, so many people struggle with those. Our money scripts, as one source calls them. These unconscious beliefs about money often formed right there in childhood, just like other patterns.
Yes, exactly. And these aren't just abstract thoughts. They're deeply ingrained narratives that dictate our entire financial behavior, often completely unconsciously.
So how might that look?
Well, they can manifest as patterns like money is bad. That might lead someone to subtly push away financial opportunities or feel guilty about having wealth. Or maybe I don't deserve money. That can lead to self-sabotaging financial success, maybe through impulse spending or avoiding chances for career advancement. And then there's the really common one. There will never be enough money. They can foster this chronic scarcity mindset, even when resources are actually plentiful, leading to things like hoarding, maybe, or just an inability to enjoy any prosperity they might have.
Wow.
What's fascinating here is how these patterns, you know, often rooted in past experiences and fears, keep us so incredibly stuck, even when our conscious logic is telling us something different.
It really sounds like our brains are sometimes working against our conscious desires because of these old programs, like we're fighting ourselves.
Exactly. Our brain develops these patterns, creating a kind of dopamine reward system sometimes that can drive unhealthy habits.
Right.
It's chasing those temporary fixes rather than lasting fulfillment. Think about it. A quick shopping spree might give a temporary hit of dopamine, right?
Sure.
But if your underlying money script is, I don't deserve money, that quick fix just reinforces the pattern in the long run rather than breaking it. And here's where it gets really important. When our nervous system is dysregulated, you know, constantly stuck in that fight, flight, or freeze mode, it's incredibly hard to think clearly or feel safe enough to truly change.
Right. You can't really make good decisions when you feel threatened.
Exactly. It's like trying to make rational, conscious choices when your internal alarm bells are constantly ringing. The body perceives a threat, and its primary goal becomes survival, not growth or change.
Okay, this all sounds like, well, a lot to unpack. And honestly, for many people listening, it might feel a bit overwhelming.
It can feel that way, yeah.
But the really good news is our sources offer some incredibly practical, actionable ways to start identifying and reprogramming these deep-seated patterns. It's truly about moving from that unconscious autopilot to conscious awareness, intentional choice.
That's the key, isn't it? It's not about being stuck forever. It's about recognizing that you actually have the power to rewrite your inner blueprint. And it's important to remember, too, that healing and personal growth, they aren't a straight line. Not usually.
Right, more like ups and downs.
Exactly. More like a spiral, actually.
Yeah.
You might revisit old patterns, but each time you do, you're doing it with new tools, new awareness, maybe deeper understanding. You're creating new neural pathways, deepening the groove of the new behavior, not just trying to erase the old one. Setbacks aren't failures. They're genuinely opportunities for deeper learning and growth.
That's a much more hopeful way to look at it. So, Jesse, this raises the big question. Where do we even begin this rewiring process? If someone listening wants to tackle one of these patterns, where do they start?
Okay, so our sources introduce a really helpful four-step process for breaking patterns, adapted from various experts. The first step, absolutely foundational, is awareness. You simply cannot change what you're not aware of.
Makes sense.
So you need to identify these unconscious habits. Tools for this can include practices like meditation, which helps you just observe your thoughts and feelings without judgment. Creates a little space. Journaling is also incredibly powerful. You could try asking yourself prompts like, when else have I felt this exact way? Or when did this pattern seem to begin? Really dig into the origin story.
Like playing detective with yourself.
Kind of. Even making simple lists of your perceived strengths and weaknesses, or if you're feeling brave, asking trusted friends or family for honest, constructive feedback on your behaviors. That can give you invaluable insights into how your patterns actually show up to the world, things you might not see yourself.
Right. Okay, so step one is shining that spotlight, getting aware. Once you've done that, the second step is planning. This is where you actually map out your new ideal habits and consciously decide where you want to go instead. How do you approach this effectively?
Well, the key here is to make these new habits realistic and break them down into smaller, really manageable steps. If your goal is, say, to overcome procrastination, a small step might be dedicating just 15 minutes a day to that task you've been avoiding, not trying to tackle it all at once.
Baby steps.
Totally. And also, it's critical to identify those specific triggers or bottlenecks that tend to push you back into the old habits. For example, if stress always triggers emotional eating for you, your workaround plan might be to have a calming tea ready or decide to go for a short walk instead of reaching for that snack. It's about proactive preparation.
I can see how that takes the power away from the old habit, makes it less automatic.
So once we have our awareness and our plan, what's next?
Then we move to the third and probably most active step. Action and emotional alignment. This is where the daily work really happens, and honestly, your mindset is everything here.
Okay. Action and emotional alignment. It involves consistent action. There was this brilliant example from our sources, Jennifer Young's 40 Days of Facing Fears Challenge. She found that consistent daily action, even really small steps outside her comfort zone, like just striking up a conversation with a stranger or trying a new activity she was nervous about, it drastically increased her confidence in her learning. As she wisely put it, the greatest learning happens outside the comfort zone.
I love that. It's the cumulative effect, isn't it? Those small daily acts of courage building up.
Absolutely. It's also about truly becoming your future self, as you mentioned. That ties right into this step.
How does that work?
Well, visualization is a really powerful tool here. Actually seeing yourself already living the desired life. Because your brain doesn't really differentiate strongly between vivid imagination and reality.
Right. It thinks it's happening.
Exactly. So when you consistently visualize, you're building the neural pathways that mimic the actual experience, making it easier for your brain to accept and then create that reality. And affirmations are crucial, too. You need to consciously replace that negative self-talk with empowering truths. Spoken in the present tense, like I am worthy or money flows to me effortlessly.
Present tense is key, you said.
Yes. The subconscious takes things very literally and always operates in the present moment. So it responds much better to I am than I will be.
But it's not just about saying the words, right? I've heard that the emotional connection is really important. You have to feel it.
Precisely. One source highlights this perfectly. You can only think equally to how you're feeling.
Nice.
So when you're affirming, you must try to feel it emotionally. If you say, I am confident, but internally you're feeling profound doubt, your subconscious picks up on the feeling, not just the words.
Okay, that makes sense.
And this is why nervous system regulation is so critical. Using tools like conscious breath work or somatic awareness, which is just paying attention to sensations in your body and grounding techniques, these can help calm your system down, creating a sort of safe internal space for change to actually happen. If your nervous system is constantly on high alert, it's incredibly difficult to consciously override those old ingrained patterns.
You need that internal calm to create new possibilities.
Exactly.
So, okay, you've calmed your system, you're taking action, using visualization, affirmations. How do you keep pushing through when it inevitably feels uncomfortable? Because changing old patterns is uncomfortable.
That's where self-compassion and adopting a beginner's mindset really come in. Don't strive for perfection immediately. Nobody gets it right the first time. Everyone feels nerves when trying new things. Try to accept that discomfort as a sign that you are expanding beyond your current limits.
That's a good sign, not a bad sign.
Right. It's not a sign you're doing something wrong. It's a sign you're doing something new and growing. And when it comes to confronting fear specifically, don't try to avoid it. The advice is to confront it directly. Name it, maybe even give it a silly name like Bob.
Bob the fear.
Yeah. Then you can dialogue with it. Tell yourself, okay, here comes Bob again. You know what, Bob? I don't need this crap right now. I've got this.
Right.
Or a truly powerful phrase from the sources is simply telling yourself, whatever happens, I'll handle it.
Whatever happens, I'll handle it. I like that.
It's simple, but it profoundly reduces the perceived threat because it tells your brain, hey, I'm capable no matter the outcome. Being authentic about your fears, acknowledging them, it's not weakness. It's actually a sign of immense courage because you're choosing to face it rather than letting it dictate your life.
That's such a freeing thought. Okay, so you've gone through awareness, planning, action, and emotional alignment. What's the final piece of the puzzle to really make these changes stick?
Right, finally, the fourth step is growth and accountability. And this is really an ongoing process. There's no real finish line, but that's actually a good thing. Transformation is a lifelong journey, not a destination.
Keep growing.
Keep growing. Track your progress, maybe through journaling or simple habit apps or even sharing with an accountability partner. And always, always remember to celebrate those small wins along the way. That builds momentum. It reinforces your self-belief that you can actually do this.
And learn from setbacks.
Yes. Learn from any setbacks. Remember that healing is spiraling, not linear. If you find yourself falling back into an old pattern, it's not a failure. It's just an opportunity to apply your new awareness and tools again. Show up, practice self-compassion, and stay committed. Consistency truly is the most underrated key to lasting transformation.
And here's where it gets really interesting, I think. The impact of doing this work, it isn't just internal, is it? It's about how consistently challenging those patterns actually expands your comfort zone, it boosts your self-esteem, and it allows you to ask for what you truly want and be who you truly want to be.
Absolutely.
And you know what else? The sources suggest it even inspires others around you. It creates this ripple effect.
It absolutely does. When you start living more authentically, breaking free from those old limitations, you inadvertently show others what's possible for them too.
Wow, that was a truly insightful deep dive into the fascinating and sometimes hidden world of subconscious patterns. It's clear that our inner world has such a profound impact on our outer reality, and the power to reprogram it lies absolutely within us.
And that's the most exciting part, isn't it? The power to create real, lasting change in your life is genuinely in your hands.
Imagine, just for a moment, what aspects of your life could transform if you consistently showed up not aiming for perfection, but just for persistence and rewiring even just one deeply held unconscious belief.
Yeah. So this raises an important question for you, our listener. What small, consistent action will you take this week just to begin observing or maybe shifting one of your own subconscious patterns? Just one small step. What will it be?
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. We truly hope you found incredible value in our conversation today.
Please consider subscribing or liking and maybe sharing this deep dive with someone you think might need to hear it. It really helps us out and helps spread these insights further.
And please do leave us a comment too. We'd genuinely love to hear your thoughts and be part of this conversation with you. Until next time, keep exploring, keep growing, and keep diving deep.